Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Get up at once and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, because its evilness is obvious to me." But Jonah sought to go to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship there, paid his fare, and went on board to go to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And then the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and such a huge storm blew up, the ship was threatening to break up into pieces. The sailors became afraid, and each one cried to his God. They threw cargo off the ship to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone below deck, laid down, and fallen asleep. The captain came to him shouting, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up at once and pray to your God so that he might take notice of us so that we don't all die here." The sailors meanwhile said, "Let's cast lots and find out on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said, "Why is this happening to us? What's your occupation? What's your country? Who are your people? Where do you come from?" And he said, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And then the sailors became even more afraid and said, "What is this you've done?" For they knew he was fleeing the presence of the Lord because he told them so. And he said, they said to him, what should we do so that the sea should quiet down for us? For the sea was becoming more and more wild." And Jonah said, "Pick me up and throw me off the ship, for I know it's on my account this great calamity has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to shore, but they were unable to do so because the sea was becoming more and more wild. And then they cried out, "Oh Lord, don't make us guilty for this man's life. Don't make us guilty for shedding innocent blood, because you, O Lord, have done as you saw fit." And they picked Jonah up and they threw him off the ship. And the storm ceased from its raging. And then the sailors became even more afraid and made promises to the Lord and offered sacrifices to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. His name, Jonah, means dove, which we associate with the Holy Spirit and with following the leading of God. But he's doing anything but that. Jonah, God's reluctant messenger, is running in the opposite direction of where God calls him to go. He is desperately fleeing what he knows he needs to do with his life. For the next few weeks, we're going to explore this amazing and underwater sailor's tale, which is an exploration into the recesses of the human heart, but even more than that, into the goodness and grace of God. We're going to explore the story of Jonah. What's going on with this guy? Why is he running away from where God wants him to go? Oh, come on, be straight with me. You've done the same thing, have you not? You have felt something in your heart or on your spirit to help someone, to say, "Look, I'm sorry," to offer assistance to someone in need, to offer help or an apology to someone who you believe has made your life miserable, and you say, "Not a chance, not today, sorry, God." And if you haven't done it, I certainly have. I remember a few years ago, my wife and I were in a mall meeting one of her relatives for coffee, and I was walking into a washroom, and a man in front of me was walking ahead of me. And straight across the pages of my heart came this phrase unbidden to me, "Tell him Rebecca loves him." And I went, "Nope, not today." Because I have done that. And I knew a couple other things. And I was like, no. But you're like, well, why would Jonah ignore the voice of God? But we don't know how this came to Jonah, do we? The verse says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he's a prophet. So he hears from God and speaks from God to the to God's people. But it's not writing on the wall as it was in Daniel. There's no angels that came to, say, Mary. It could have been that he is running from something that came clearly across the pages of his heart, that he's running from an impression, but he is running with all his heart. He goes down to a port city, Joppa, pays his fare, and goes down to modern-day Spain. Not a bad place to go for a vacation, but definitely not to Nineveh, which is in modern-day Iraq. And why is he pedaling backwards and pushing his feet against the ground so quickly and immediately against the call of God? Janet already said it in the children's time. These Ninevites are Assyrians and dreaded enemies of the people of God, and they'd made their lives miserable. I mean, if God called you to go to your enemy and tell them to turn around, and you can pick the enemy that's on your spirit this morning and say, turn your life around, would you go? And I would say, I'd have to pray about it. And Jonah maybe did or didn't, but he doesn't go. What happens? He gets onto the boat, and the mother of all storms hits this ship. These sailors are on board wondering what's going on. This is like nothing perhaps they've ever seen before, and in their cosmos, the gods must be angry. We sang it this morning, the tempests blow by order of your throne. We still think that ourselves, and these sailors were certain that God must be providing this storm. And so they shake dice, and wouldn't you know it, the problem is in the basement. So the captain runs and wakes Jonah up and tells him, look, it's all hands on deck. Pray to the God you worship so that we don't all die here. Now that's kind of interesting. And Jonah, of course, gets up on deck, and they ask him what's going on. And he says, look, I'm a Mennonite. Now, I know that this has never happened to you, but sometimes we meet people who say they're Mennonites, but they're actually not the radical followers of Jesus that our Anabaptist bears worshipped, are they? Yes, I like Zwieback. And it's like, that's not what's going on here. Jonah is making a confession with his lips that isn't in sync with his heart, because he's running from the God he worships. In fact, he knows it. He's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And he's in name only. And they are trying to figure out what to do next. What do we do with this guy? And Jonah comes up with a plan. It's not a good plan. There's nothing in the Israelite history that would suggest that somehow the way to end a storm is to end your life. But we have a sense from Jonah that he is depressed, that he's struggling, right? I mean, he just feels bad. I am not saying if you feel bad, you're running from the presence of God. That is not true. But sometimes in our lives, when we're not doing what we know we're supposed to do, we just feel miserable. And that's what's going on for Jonah. What about these sailors? These sailors are models of faith. Years ago, people used to say to me, you know, Jim, I don't know about this Christian stuff. I have a friend. They're not Christians. They don't worship God at all, and yet they're a far better Christian than any Christian I've ever met. And I never used to know as a young adult what to say about that, but now I do. It's like, yes, of course. These pagan sailors on board are models of faith. They are searching. They're inquisitive. They're sincere. They're honest. Or as Janet said, they're good guys. They're trying as best they can to find out what God might be doing. And when Jonah is tossed overboard, they worship the God that Jonah worships. So if you ever think in your life, nobody can follow me because of the example that I've set, despite Jonah's incredibly awful example, they follow after the God that Jonah worships because they recognize another tune in the midst of that calls them to worship, which is stunning. But these sailors, these pagan sailors, are models of faith, and so they invite us not to be judgmental of others on their journey. Earlier this week, Ingrid and I and our family were in Europe for a few weeks, and we got a tour of Amsterdam from a man who happened to be very much involved in work of justice in the red light district. His story was incredible because he knew we were persons of faith, because we also went to the Mennonite Church in Amsterdam. He called himself spiritual and not religious, and I was envying the work that he was doing to bring light and hope in places of darkness, because it's easy to judge, but the sailors invite us to think carefully about the judgments we make about other people and how God might be working through the lives of others. And then there's Jonah. What do we do with him? He's a toughie, right? His heart is hard. And yet what we're going to see here is the grace of God moving deeper and deeper into the life of Jonah, despite his reluctance, despite his running, and despite what we will find out is his hatred of the Ninevites. What do we learn? We learn that God is working, reaching us through the events of your life. If you came this morning and your life is a blessing and the summer's a gift and all is well, God is trying to meet you. If your life is a storm right now and you don't know what's going on and it feels like it's all hands on deck, God is trying to reach you. If you're searching for God and trying to figure out what to do or where to go, or if any of this matters in the end anyway, God is trying to meet you. Because what we find is God is engaging all the parties in this story with God's grace and love. And God is trying to meet you in the midst of. God uses the storms in our lives to bring us into a place, potentially, of trust. In their world, it was God who hurled the storm across the sea, but it was Jesus, God in the flesh, who calmed all the storms that he met. It's Jesus who is the storm calmer. You see, Jonah in his world of running, of anger, of fear, thinks the whole world is conspiring against him. Everything is coming at him. And it must be God who's doing this. But we will find out in a few weeks just how gracious this God is, who longs to meet Jonah, and even more than that, engage him in what he's thinking and feeling. And the second thing this story invites me to is, are you sleeping or below deck? Am I? That's the question I ask myself. You know, when I go on vacation, I don't know what turning the pastor on light on means exactly, but I turn it off, all right? I did try not to respond, but there were several times on the vacation where I was called into situations where it's like, Jim, don't sleep below deck. We came back I was in the Toronto airport, and I stayed awake intentionally on the plane to deal with jet lag, and we couldn't find a piece of our luggage, and there was a lot going on, but I listened to somebody behind me engaging a person of another nationality in ways that made me very uncomfortable. And it's easiest for me, as the quiet in the land minnow, to go below deck and sleep, but as I watched what was going on yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia, and saw how the church was standing with, many were standing with and many were not, I just don't think we're going to be able to sleep below deck much. I think there's a new response that will need to come from us, and it will certainly, I'm speaking to myself here, will need to come from me as we stand up when people raise Nazi flags. But Jonah's story asks the question, are you below deck or are you above? Are we trying to avoid situations that call for our engagement? And those are questions I ask myself. And God isn't trying to make Jonah's life miserable. And he's not trying to do it for you. God hasn't brought this storm on Jonah to teach him a lesson. God is trying to engage Jonah with his love and mercy and grace at every step. And Jonah just doesn't see it yet. He just doesn't see it yet, unfortunately. God is a good God who longs to bring good gifts to God's children, including you and I. And God wants to do that for Jonah as well. And finally, the last question I guess we can ask ourselves is this: are you going to Nineveh or Tarshish? And I can't answer that for you. I only can answer it for myself. But the question needs to be asked: what direction are you going? In Jonah's case, if you're going the wrong way, what you find, as Jonah did, there's a turbulence and an absence of deep peace in his life that gives him the strength to move forward. And in my own life, I've learned to pay attention to the peace of Christ beyond human understanding. It doesn't mean that I don't walk into situations where deep faith is required, but it does mean that I want to pay deep attention to that. Next Sunday, we hit bottom. We're going to go to the bottom of the underworld with Jonah in this crazy fish. I hope you can join us. Let's pray together. God, thank you that in spite of the storm and sailors and running, you were there and your love was available. Despite Jonah's crazy choices, you were there. Some of us have made choices, God, that we just regret, and we still live with it, and we just ask, what if? Jesus, meet us in that and give us a new word at the crossroads, a word of strength, a word of clarity, and a word of peace. Thank you, God, for this story. And thank you that in the midst of you show us your way. Teach us what it means to be above deck instead of below deck in situations that call for our response. And thank you that you go with us no matter what. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.